Farsetti in the morning.
We got Philly's conversation to get into today. We got LeSean McCoy convo. We got some 76ers action. Hi, my name is Mark Farzetta. That's Jamie Lynch. We got Pat Egan over there. Bob Cooney still enjoying a fine week of vacation. At 8:30 today, we will speak to Flyers captain Claude Giroux. 8:30 today, we'll speak to Claude Giroux himself in the bubble in Toronto. Up there north of the border. Looking forward to that conversation. 9 o'clock today, we'll talk to Devon Gibbons right here of 97.5 The Fanatic about all things 76ers. But let me just get this straight. Are we the only morning show, at least in the Delaware Valley, perhaps maybe even the world, that has received a formal invitation to Magic Imagine City Kitchen? Is that what we did? Did we get a formal invitation?
Sure seems that way.
To the chicken wing destination of one Lou Williams that caused him to have a 10-day quarantine? Wow, 10 days just flew by. He played last night with the Clippers. Lou Williams, who went to Magic City for wings, also a gentleman's club, says he did not get any type of service from ladies, but just went there for the wings.
Don't believe
it. He himself returned to work last night after getting these Magic City wings in Atlanta, Georgia, that have been the talk of the country for these last 10 days. Pat Egan, last night, had a dinner of the junk food entitled chicken wings.
It's a meal.
So are 10 Snickers bars. But anyway, you tweeted it out, and then somehow, magically, Magic City Kitchen said two things directed at us. One, we are only on DoorDash and Postmates as of right now. Two, we are going to try our hardest to get these wings to everybody nationwide. Promise. Until then, maybe a road trip to Atlanta is in order? Now, Pat, you actually did the Google Maps. How long does it take, or Waze? How long does it get down there to Atlanta, Georgia, Magic City?
It's only 12 hours.
12 hours. Stuff it.
It's a breeze.
For some great wings.
Okay, so here's what we're doing after
the show.
For
a nice meal?
We are going to get into a 97.5 The Fanatic van.
No, we're not, because I used to drive those.
Oh, no. They're in great condition. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to get a company credit card. We're going to drive down. We're going to take shifts. And guess what? We can be back. If we leave, 12 hours through the middle of the night, we can make it back in time for tomorrow's show.
We'll be all right.
But no sleep whatsoever. That'll be a fun Thursday program. What do you think about food all-time cravings? Because you got to think about this. With Lou Williams doing that, we talked about Rashawn Holmes a couple of weeks ago. When you talk about all-time cravings, like, what would you drive across, like, what would you drive 12 hours to get? Like, what's a meal? Like, when I think about whenever I have to go to the West Coast, the first thing that jumps to mind is I got to go to In-N-Out Burger. And let me just settle this right now. In-N-Out Burger is not the greatest cheeseburger in the world. There are plenty of places that have specialty burgers and really good burgers and all that. But in terms of fast food, and I have always said this, Five Guys is not fast food. If you have to get out of your car, you ain't that fast. You have to have a drive-thru. In-N-Out Burger is the best fast food burger I have ever had in my life. And I always say, if you go out there, if you live out there, I'm sure it just becomes normal. But every single time, and Jamie, you've been there with me half the time I've gone out there, I go to In-N-Out Burger. Boom, right
there. You have to.
That's the food that I think I would travel the greatest distance to go.
Wow.
Like, when you talk about within the continental United States, like, I'm not talking about, you know, you had some really good squid in Greece or something like that. I'm talking about, like, something in the continental United States you would go a great distance for. When I think about it, it's that solid In-N-Out Burger, man. Oh, because it's quick, convenient, and you're ready for your next meal.
Yeah, burger's a good one. Huh, it's a good question.
I know we've been across the United States. Pat, you traveling man at all? You enjoy traveling?
I wasn't enamored with In-N-Out Burger.
No, like just in general. Any food did you think of?
Westchester. I've been to Westchester. Yeah. I spent my honeymoon in King of Prussia.
At the mall?
Yeah.
That's weird.
We just window shot, though. That's all we could afford. I don't travel probably as much as you guys because you guys both work for NBC. I mean, I've been out to the West Coast in the past couple of years. You know, I talked about going to see Rhys Hoskins' first game in San Diego.
There you go.
So I always kind of plan my vacations on, will a Philadelphia team be in the town that I'm going to?
Mm.
That's always my thing, is I want to see a sporting event. So I try to get out as much as I can, but not probably as much as you two jet setters.
I would, honestly, if I had the time. I think it would be a great thing for us to drive down to Atlanta with the windows open in the car because you need ventilation and get some Magic City wings. Because you know what? Everyone's talking about them. No one up here's had them.
I mean, there's good wings in Philly, but if these are the best,
Well, that was the other thing.
I would drive that distance for the best.
Magic City tried to wing shame us, I saw.
Those look like some lovely wings you had last night.
They were so good.
They look good.
All right. In the early goings of everything here with the pandemic and what the Eagles are doing in the offseason, the name LeSean McCoy had come up more than once. And yeah. I was originally on the, no, I'm sure there's somebody else that we could get. I'm sure there's somebody else the Eagles could go after. And then, lo and behold, LeSean McCoy is doing a press conference in Tampa, his new team. I believe it's his introductory press conference. And he gets asked about coming, what was basically going to Tampa. Anybody else knocking on your door? And he does mention the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles did reach out. But he was like, no, I don't think it's the right time or whatever. Like, I don't care. Do we have, this is what LeSean McCoy had to say about the Eagles knocking on his door.
Philly was another big one that I really wanted to explore that option. They reached out. But it just clicked the right time. Enough waiting. Let's do it. Let's get in there with the team. Let's learn the offense, things like that. I mean, come on. I'm in Tampa, nice weather, and I'm playing with Tom Brady. How can you beat that?
Well, I'll tell you, you can beat that. Now, unfortunately, it won't be this year, but Eagles fans, you can't beat that, right? You're probably not going to get them at the stadium this year, but still, nonetheless, it's good to play with the Eagles. You also have Carson Wentz, not too bad right there. An aging Tom Brady, an aging Rob Gronkowski who just came out of retirement, and there's a lot of weapons in that offense. He's not going to be asked to do a lot. That's actually probably a really good fit for him as far as what he's going to be asked to do in this offense, or in that offense. But I think he would be a really good fit because all he'd have to do is be that veteran running back who the Eagles don't have.
Yeah, a third-string running back job is not much. I mean, what, 5 carries a game, maybe occasional special teams?
Yeah.
I get why he went to Tampa. If I'm him, I look at Tampa as having a better chance to win a ring than the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know.
All the weapons.
Star power.
Yeah, sure.
Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Tom Brady, all the, the tight ends they have. That should be a fun offense to play in. I'm kind of glad he's not here so we don't have to do the, should they have brought him back? Is Shady a jerk? Like all that stuff. We don't have to relive all of that again. Yeah. Whatever.
Often I try to take morals out of it, and I just try to look at the team and be like, what do they need? And they still need a veteran running back.
Yeah, I wouldn't have hated it.
Like right now, Corey Clement is your veteran running back. Like, that's the veteran running back of the Eagles right now, right? And look, he's been posting the workout videos, and he's been looking good and all that, and that's great. Miles Sanders, we all know, is the number one guy. Boston Scott behind him.
He might be the most excited I am for a player this year.
What, Miles Sanders?
Yeah.
Ditto.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, assuming that Wentz doesn't drop or, drop off dramatically. I think Miles Sanders has still room to grow.
When we talked about LeSean McCoy, and it's probably been at least a month since we last talked about him, I was on the idea that you didn't want to bring him back because you still got time in the offseason, right? Well, now it's training camp. Oh, wait for training camp. See what happens. See what you have at that point. Yeah, no, I would. At this point, I would have brought LeSean McCoy back here.
Yeah, I would have too, but
I'm glad that so you would have, because I know you were on the other side of that.
No, I said it a while ago. As a third string running back, why not?
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's all.
Because
we're
to me,
at right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's just, it's such a minimal role that it's good to have somebody you can, for the most part, he's been healthy. He was a little banged up in KC there, but he stayed healthy throughout his career. So, yeah, I would have. I don't really care that he went to Tampa, though, at the same time. Mm. So that tells you how strongly I felt about it.
All right. So this will be one of the things we're going to be kicking around today. The other thing is, it's time, and it's going to happen. And I think it's going to happen within the next couple of days. Spencer Howard's going to be pitching for the Philadelphia Phillies.
If it doesn't happen by the weekend, we riot. We get our riot juice, and we storm One Citizens Bank Way.
Uh-huh.
So, because enough is enough.
So, doubleheader today. It doesn't look like it's going to get affected by ICIS?
Yeah, I was saying it to Skylar yesterday because she was laughing at Addie and I.
ICIS.
Good call canceling the game last night, MLB.
But nothing really happened in New York?
Not that I'm aware of. I texted my cousin at 6, and he's like, oh, it's a beautiful night for a ball game.
So, before we even go into this too much, I hope everybody's okay.
Yes.
I know that a lot of people had damage.
It was nasty. I was driving around yesterday.
People in Manayunk had to evacuate their building.
Yes.
And find places to live.
So I was driving over to my parents. So I went up Bell's Mill and a little bit of Lincoln Drive and stuff. And this was right after the show. and it was nasty then. It was getting pretty bad.
Yeah,
so
sometimes I go right by the river, either Kelly Drive or West River, and I go down there and try to get home that way. Yesterday, I was like, let me make sure I'm staying on 76.
Yeah.
Which is something I don't think I've ever said in my life.
I took Broad Street home just to stay on like higher ground.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, smart.
It was wild out there.
Yeah, so I just wanted to be safe, and then I see the video yesterday of cars being picked up in Doylestown.
Yeah, you see Doylestown Hospital?
Doylestown Hospital.
Must have been a tornado, right?
Yeah, where my mom, God bless her, would go and like give communion. And the staff at Doylestown Hospital is just great people, and she knows a lot of them. Fortunately, people are all right. Their cars are banged up, extremely banged up. There was a daycare that had to close early.
Jeez.
It just was insane.
There was a tornado I saw right outside Ocean City, too, that was in Memora.
Oh, wow.
That was pretty decent size.
So hopefully everyone in our listening audience did not experience the brunt of the storm that rolled through as we got I believe they called it a tropical storm by the time it got to us. It was nasty yesterday.
Yeah.
Just walking out, just leaving here yesterday, we're walking out in a wall of rain, basically.
Yeah. And I stepped in a huge puddle right away.
And you were wearing sandals,
yes.
For the record.
It was raining sideways.
It was some big old fat rain is what it was. So I hope everyone was okay in our listening audience. But New York, the Yankees and Phillies game was postponed. Another game pushed back by Major League Baseball. Another game pushed back involving the Phillies.
Not like they're on a tight schedule here.
No, there's a lot of games they got to play here. It's a lot of games. So when you look at this Phillies roster and their rotation over the next couple of games with a doubleheader today, and the Phillies announced yesterday that Zach Wheeler will go in game one today. Aaron Nola will go in game two.
And they're alternating home teams, right?
Alternating home teams in this, yes. So
weird.
This season, this is why I don't believe in this season. Like, this is I look at this as purely entertainment. I'm not getting emotionally attached to any of this.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's a sideshow, is really what it's become.
It feels that way a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And this is exactly what I expected.
But I still like it.
Well, it's not like I hate the game
itself.
No,
I hear you. But Nola and Wheeler today on the bump, as they say.
Well, here's the best
part. That's exciting.
You know what I'm more excited about? About anything?
Spencer Howard.
Not even that. What are you talking about just today? You know what I'm more excited about?
The Union match at 8 o'clock.
Jamie Day.
Yeah, that's great. I'm not excited about Jamie Day.
Nobody is.
When I tell you this, you're going to be like, oh my God, Mark, phenomenal point. Man, you're brilliant. Here's what I'm going to tell you.
Lord.
Yeah, right. Ready? Seven innings.
Oh.
Seven innings.
Yeah.
Two games. Seven innings.
Yeah.
Less chance to see the bullpen.
That's a good point. That bullpen is the less we can see of them, the better they are.
I woke up like this, Jamie. Thank you very much. All right. I look at this team, and the thing I don't want to see is the bullpen. I also really don't want to see Vince Velasquez starts. I could also live without that.
I want him in the bullpen. Okay. Just stop.
He wasn't great in the bullpen last year.
No,
either.
He's not.
Yeah.
But this bullpen's so bad that maybe he's actually a boss.
Is he a... Everyone else sucks. Hey, Vinny Velo, get in the bullpen.
You might suck less.
So here's your options here. Do you want Nick Pivetta to start a game? Okay. Do you want Cole Irvin to start a game?
Oh, God, no.
Okay, so let's play the idiot game.
Is Adonis Medina ready?
No, I don't.
Him and Spencer, come on down.
Who's the guy that would rather, even, like, let's not, he's 24 years old, so it's not like he's a 21-year-old guy who's going through a great run. Oh, bring him up. No, he's 24 years old. We saw how much he just impressed Bryce Harper in the early goings of all this.
That was all I needed to hear.
Make it happen. How has it not happened already? We've already passed the window. What's it? When's it? Yeah, when's it?
It was August 30th, I believe, was the date of the extra year of control. So they've already eclipsed that.
Not July.
July, I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, so to play devil's advocate, though.
Oh, what do you got?
Great.
You
fun here we go.
This
here we go.
Season doesn't matter.
Why
bring them up? What do you got, Mr. My hat matches my shorts?
It doesn't really.
Sell us the Phillies Kool-Aid.
Yeah, what do you got?
Anyway, because they were quarantined, I don't know if he would have been able to practice. It was better for him to be with the taxi squad in Lehigh Valley because he was able to get work in.
Okay. Oh, well, that part of devil's advocate.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
I thought you were...
No, you guys decided to jump on me for no reason. And I'm going to allow it because it's Jamie Day, but I'm not allowing it tomorrow. I'm just warning you.
Would you like to... For the people that don't follow us on Twitter or Instagram...
Oh, Mark.
What is... Go ahead. No, what is Jamie Day?
The fact that you're acting like people don't know what Jamie Day is insulting, but Jamie Day is the day where Jamie gets to preview the what's going on the morning show.
Well, Jamie Day is officially...
Twitter
what,
and Instagram.
2 weeks old? 3 weeks old at most?
Oh, we're going on like a month.
Yeah, where he assaults me with the video camera.
Yeah, he starts
on assault.
Well,
video assault.
People look forward to this day, Jamie.
And you're forced to do
it. I hate being on camera.
You can find the video on Facebook, Instagram,
Twitter. To all the people on Twitch, Jamie's on camera. But yeah, so Jamie Day is the day he does the promo for our social media account, and today is that day. It's on Wednesday. I wasn't even made aware of Jamie Day until last Wednesday, because you asked me what day it is, and I said, I have no idea. It's Wednesday?
Yeah, last week's Jamie Day video was good.
It was pretty solid. But anyway, today is Jamie Day.
But it better be Spencer Howard Day pretty damn soon.
And in the not-too-distant future, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, certainly by the weekend, Spencer Howard better be in a big league uniform with the Philadelphia Phillies.
Sunday is my deadline.
If I see Nick Pavetta
for sanity
grab a ball and get a start,
uh-huh,
I probably will come in here and bash my head against the wall.
But they can't keep doing that, though. They can't keep taking, and they did it a lot last year all the time. They would take starters and put them in the bullpen for, you know, a week and then bring them back out. And that screws with their head. They can't get in. I mean, pitchers of all are creatures of habit. Mm-hmm. And you take a starting pitcher and make him a bullpen piece. And they did it with Vinny Velo last year. It's like he probably could be a serviceable bullpen piece, but you keep screwing with him in the mentality, and it's going to mess them up.
All right, so this is where I hope that you have Joe Girardi effect rather than the Gabe Kapler effect. And I know that a lot of people looked at Matt Klentak as a guy that was pushing a lot of the buttons behind the scenes. I don't think that happens with Joe Girardi. And that was one of the things. As I was breaking this down, thinking, okay, when could he come up? And I'm like, certainly by the weekend. And then I thought about something similar to you thought, because I thought, well, okay, well, who goes to the bullpen from the starting rotation? And Vinny Velo was the first guy that came to mind. And I was thinking, well, what happened last year? A lot of times it was Gabe Kapler and Matt Klentak pushing the buttons together and all that. You're not going to tell Joe Girardi, hey, Joe, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have this starting pitcher go in the bullpen and then come out of the bullpen. Yeah, it's not happening with Joe Girardi. Joe Girardi is saying, if Spencer Howard is on this team, he's in the starting rotation. It's not going to be up and down from the minors to the majors in terms of that. And I'm certainly not going to have guys in and out of the bullpen. If you have injuries, hey, look, you get it. That's what has to happen because you need bodies. But as far as Spencer Howard goes, if he is not up by the end of today, I don't know what this Phillies team plans on doing, because I can't have Nick Pavetta get another start. I certainly can't look at a guy like Cole Irvin and say, oh, yeah, you grab a start, too. Spencer Howard needs to be up here in a Phillies uniform immediately.
I'm not dramatic when I say that. It will be, if they don't, which I really hope they do, and we don't have to freak out, it will be incredibly insulting as a fan of this organization. You see, look, one of the new trends around baseball is 19 and 20-year-olds contribute left and right now. It's not as much as the grown man game as it used to be. You know, Juan Soto was damn near taking over the league at 19 years old. These guys are out there. Spencer Howard's 24 years old.
Mm.
How much longer are we going to drag our feet in the mud? We as fans deserve the best product on the field, and the best product is not freaking Nick Pavetta and Vinny Velasquez for another just fake trot around the track. Give us Spencer Howard, stop being cheap about it, and put the damn best product on the field. It's plain and simple.
At this point, is it even being cheap? Like, at this point, like, he's
I understand waiting.
And you were gifted an excuse thanks to the shutdown
for
a week.
And I get waiting to get the extra year of control. It's a stupid, outdated rule that I think should change, but whatever. That's for another argument.
Yeah, yeah.
You have that year of control now. Stop.
Yeah, there's no excuse at this point.
There's none.
All right. So we'll have that conversation today. We'll get into some NBA conversation. Like I said, we have Claude Giroux joining us at 8:30 today for some NHL conversation, Flyers conversation. Here's the thing I want to know from Claude. He's played for some head coaches in his NHL career, right? Where's Alain Vigneault rank in comparison there?
Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
And I absolutely love Peter Laviolette, right? Peter Laviolette seemed like an always intense kind of guy. I really like the HBO 24/7, the behind the scenes look we got with
that team
before the Winter Classic against the Rangers. And there, you saw all that intensity with Peter Laviolette. But then you also saw the other side where he skated up to Scott Hartnell and he said, 200 goals. You know, that's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah.
And I don't think, did Peter Laviolette score a goal? At all?
I don't think so.
I don't think he did.
Because I think he commented on that, the fact that it's like 200 more than I have.
Yeah, it was something, he might have scored like two goals or whatever it was. But just to acknowledge that and say, hey, man, that's pretty awesome. You know, congrats. Like that softer side with Scott Hartnell, that's pretty great. Because who would he be reaming out a lot in those meetings behind the scenes? Scott Hartnell. So it was both sides of it, right? And I loved the up-tempo style of play from Peter Laviolette. And then you saw some other things, you know, change here with the Flyers and the insanity that happened and trying to make the playoffs. They made it 2 years out of 4 when it came to the years under Dave Hackstall and all that. I want to see what this team can do now with Elaine Vigneault, and we're all super hyped about the Flyers.
Claude's seen some. He's seen a lot of coaches. I mean, he goes back to Hitchcock, right?
I don't know if he goes back. Yeah, as a young player.
He was probably
was
coming
he?
Up.
I thought it was John Stevens.
Stevens.
He's seen a turnstile of coaches. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got to be the longest tenured guy in town, right?
Yeah. He goes back to John Stevens, yeah. How insane is that?
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
So John Stevens, Berube.
Yeah, and then Lobby,
Hackstall. Yeah.
And now
there's
Elaine
somebody
Vigneault.
Else after Stevens that I'm forgetting. Oh no, it was Lobby.
Laviolette, Berube. Anyway, so he's seen his fair share of coaches
his
career. But nonetheless, I just want to know how Elaine Vigneault stacks up against those guys.
They seem to. I mean, they clearly play for him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really play for a guy you hate.
Something tells me he's a little bit ahead of Dave Hackstall.
Just a little bit. Is that where the rankings come in?
Just a scotch.
All right, so we'll get that. Also, just the overall team chemistry here and what's been working for this team and the challenge he has, because as captain, they haven't advanced past the first round. I want to get it from him, how much pressure he feels, Carter Hart might feel. Also, how great it is. Oscar Lindblom, I believe, is overseas right now training, and he'll join the Flyers in Toronto in a couple of, a week or two. So we'll get that story from Claude as well coming up at 8:30. And the NBA bubble will go inside that, at least in conversation.
I watched games all day yesterday. It was awesome. I love daytime sports.
Did you see the Bucks at all? Did you happen to catch the Nets and the Bucks?
They were resting that Giannis fella a fair amount.
Giannis was a little perturbed in that game.
Yeah.
We'll get to that conversation.
And I can't watch the Bucks without getting angry about Dante DiVincenzo.
Oh, because Villanova products?
Yeah. Well, you took Zaire Smith.
when we come back, we're going to jump a little bit into that NBA bubble a little bit here, because there's just something I just have to see from the 76ers today. They're going up against another team that is just shouldn't be on the court with them, as a matter of fact. This has got to be a good victory, an easy victory for the Sixers today. Nothing feels like it could be an easy victory now, but we'll get to that conversation when we come back here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Just a moment, we'll be speaking with Claude Giroux, Flyers captain. Get the inside take on everything going on inside the bubble. It really does that, not so much as the NBA because they're in Orlando, Florida, but it's like if you played at any basketball camp or hockey camp or went to any sports camp, maybe band camp even, whatever it might have been, it seems like that type of atmosphere, and I applaud that. On the line with us right now, your 8-year captain of the Philadelphia Flyers, joining us now on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast, our good friend, Captain Claude Giroux. Good morning, Claude.
Good morning. How's it going, guys?
It's going great. It's great to talk to you. Can you take us inside that bubble real quick? What is bubble? We see it like throughout the NBA. What's it like in the NHL?
It's definitely a little bit awkward with all the teams staying in the same hotel. We have a lounge, so we play cards. We watch sports all day. There's basketball. There's golf. There's baseball. There's hockey on TV. So everybody kind of watches sports, and we bet on golf and kind of hang out. And it's pretty good so far.
So Claude, who are you taking in the PGA Championship this weekend, man? You got any sweet bets for me?
I only bet for Tiger, so.
That's awesome, man. So you guys do have a lot of interaction then with the other teams.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me when I was a little kid, you go on a hockey tournament and the whole tournament thing in one hotel, and you're going through the lobby and you kind of see other players. It's pretty awkward. It's definitely different that you play a team and then you get back to the hotel and kind of see them again. So it's definitely pretty unique.
I'll say this, Claude. I think what this has done for me and a lot of other people is it has made you guys more than athletes. It has made you guys Because, you know, people look at athletes and they're like, oh, well, he's a professional athlete. He gets paid millions of dollars, you know, whatever. But it has really humanized you guys, you particularly. And I know Sean Couturier just had a young daughter, if I'm not mistaken, just born. You have a soon-to-be a one-year-old son, Gavin, that you're away from right now. What is this experience like? How are you guys trying to stay in touch with your families?
Yeah, that's really tough. We're trying to FaceTime as much as possible, but you know how it is at that age. They get occupied pretty quick, and they don't really look at you on FaceTime. So it really sucks, and it's tough. I mean, we're planning being here for a long time, so it on that part it's been really tough, and we have a lot of fathers on this team too, so everybody's kind of struggling with that.
I'll say this, Claude. That's a cute kid. Looks like dad. Just going to say it. Just going to tell you. Speaking with Flyers captain Claude Giroux, the other thing here is, you know, you mentioned being there for a long time, and we all hope here as Flyers fans that you are there for a long time, because that means, you know, a deep run, as we all know. Is there any similarity? I mean, you were a 22-year-old kid, you know, just making your bones in the NHL when you guys went to the Cup Finals. Do you see any similarities with this team versus that, you know, Chris Pronger, Captain Flyers team?
I've been asked that before, and, you know, I do. I think just the depth of the team, I feel that we have a lot of tools. We have a lot of players that can make a difference every night. And, you know, like the last game we had, Michael Raffel ends up having a great game, and that's what's been happening all year long. It's everybody kind of does their job, and somebody steps up every game, and just everybody can just focus on their job and not try to do a little bit too much.
Yeah, Claude, one of the guys that steps up seemingly on a nightly basis is 22 years old, and he's your goaltender, Carter Hart. Have you seen this guy get rattled ever? Can you just talk about what a steadying of the ship he has been between the net or between the pipes this year for you guys, and how inspiring must that be to the locker room to see a kid like that taking this next step?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I mean, since he started playing with us, he's been pretty mature goaltender, and usually takes a goalie a little bit more years to kind of stay set in the NHL and kind of be able to dominate like he does. But now he doesn't get very frustrated, and only time he gets frustrated is when I score him on practice, man. and I let him know.
Good for you. Now, when you talk about comparisons to that team, like, what are your expectations? You said you plan to be there a long time. You want to be there for a long time. When you guys talk as a group, I mean, there's a lot of excitement about this Flyers team right now in Philadelphia. First off, I hope you guys feel that in Toronto. And second, is that same excitement amongst you and your teammates?
Yeah, we know we have something special here. You know, a lot of teams say that every year, but we do believe that the way we're playing, we're well coached. Everybody's buying in. We're all on the same page, and we're having fun doing it too. So we're going to be playing some good hockey here. There's a lot of good teams that are still in, and you know, we had a chance to watch the other teams, and the intensity is up. It's good hockey, and we know if we want to play for a long time, we're going to have to play some good hockey.
You mentioned the coaching here, and I did the numbers here, Chloe. It's 8 years you've been the captain, and in those 8 years, you've had five head coaches. Alain Vigneault is your fifth head coach in that span. Does he compare to anybody else that you've played for? And it looks like his style of hockey certainly lends itself to the way you play.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to compare coaches. Every coach, they coach their own way. But I think our coaching staff has been great for us this year. They prepare us for whoever we're playing. We know what we're facing and what we can do to beat them. So when you go in the game and you know what to expect, I think you can prepare yourself to know what you're doing out there. And I think that's what's happening right now.
So, albeit pretty early in the bubble, you guys have played a couple games. The commentators were talking the first game about the ice being a little sloppy, a little slower. You know, it's getting a lot of use up there. What's your, you know, feel of it up there? Is it any different? Is it the same? Is it faster, slower? What are you guys feeling on the ice?
I think it depends what time of the day we play. I mean, if you play the first game, it shouldn't be too bad. I mean, there's no fans, and the humidity should be fine. But when you got the third game of the day going, that's when the ice gets a little chippy, and we haven't had a chance to play at night like that. But I think when you're going to be the third game, I think you're going to have to play a little bit more simple, and because the ice might be a little chippy.
Speaking with Flyers captain Claude Giroux, Oscar Lindblom has been someone that we've all been following, and you guys have teammates have been phenomenal on and off the ice for him. I know he's going to rejoin you guys in Toronto. How much are you looking forward to seeing him, you know, be with you guys?
Yeah, we talked about Oscar yesterday, actually, and, you know, he's a big piece to our team, not only on the ice, but off the ice. He's if you have a chance to meet him, he's one of the best guys in hockey, and he's been through a lot this year. We're trying to get him here in Toronto as fast as we can, and you know, he's not only a great hockey player, but just as a guy, and the way he was all year, being so positive, and the kid can fight, and you know, we're pretty lucky to call him a teammate.
When it comes to how you guys are playing, you know, in the restart and all that, does it feel like the legs are still working their way in? Do you guys feel like you're in midseason form? Basically, as a team, how do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, the first game we played against Pittsburgh, I got caught in overtime there. My legs weren't really working the way they should. And, you know, we're slowly getting our legs back. You can be in great shape, but to be in game shape, you actually have to play games. So it's been two games now. We're starting to get our legs going, and yeah, at first it was a little scary, but you're going straight in the playoffs. You got to be do the best you can to be ready to skate like everybody else.
Claude, what do you think the ceiling is for Ivan Provorov? He's been having a stellar season. What do you see from this kid every day in practice?
Yeah, he's a really good hockey player. How can I say it? He's just a machine. He'll play 30 minutes if he has to, and he won't even break a sweat. So it's pretty impressive how he brings it every night, and he's playing some great hockey since September.
Claude, our regular co-host that works with Jamie and I here, Bob Cooney, has what you might call a bromance or maybe a man crush.
Well, you know, TK doesn't really know it, but it's a one-way street.
Just a warning, if you could just let Travis Konecny know, if you ever see somebody hiding in the bushes, it's probably Bob Cooney, our co-host. How has he been in the restart as well? Because he was one of the, like Sean Couturier, yourself, Voracek, he was one of the guys that was hitting a great stride in the middle of this season. How do you guys pick up where you left off?
Yeah, that's one thing. You know, we have momentum. He was playing very well for us all year long, and but I think in general we have momentum, but we need to get that back. And the last two games have been great for us. We've been playing great, and we're just excited to keep it going here.
Now, it's unfortunate, but it is true, and I know that you guys have gone through some great transition in your captaincy, still looking for that first round, being able to get out of that into the second round of the playoffs. Do you feel that pressure, or you just try to go out there and play hockey?
Yeah, I feel that pressure, but, you know, you want to feel that pressure. You don't want to you want to go as far as you can, and, you know, the last 8 years or whatever has been, we haven't been successful in the playoffs, and I mean, that's not a secret. So I think we take it to heart, and personally, me, I really take it to heart. So for us, it's an opportunity for us. We have a good team, and we just believe in ourselves. So hopefully we can go as far as we can here.
And what you definitely don't get enough credit for, two more things for you here. What you don't get enough credit for, Claude, is that you play through injury. You don't miss games.
I think that's a good question. I can't put my finger on one.
You just said shoot, right? That was shoot. You don't know. That was just to clarify for people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. It's a no.
Oh, that's great. Oh my God. Just had a little thing there with the mic. Claude, last thing. So we had that Travis Konecny fella on a little bit ago. We had asked him who would win in a fight, you or the captain, Claude Giroux. And we just want to, so you don't think that I'm making anything up. I just want you to hear how that exchange went. Here it is. You think you would win a fight against your captain. Is that true?
We had that discussion, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
I actually challenged him on the spot and he turned it down.
Oh! Wow. No, your captain turned that down.
You can do the math there.
Oh, okay, so that was Travis Konecny answering that question. Claude, I know that chemistry's great. Everyone loves each other. That's wonderful. I don't want to put a quarter in the angry machine, but how would you respond to what Travis Konecny said?
I'm just lucky that he's my teammate. he's such a great guy. He's the best. I was lucky enough to have 100 points because of him. He told me after him 100 points that he says, you're welcome for your career year. So, you know, I'm just blessed.
What a captain answer.
Claude, I know the media circuit isn't exactly your favorite thing in the world. I can't thank you enough, not only for coming on with us, but as a guy who's been rooting for the Flyers my whole life, man, I know the sacrifice you guys are making. You know, our kids are like 2 weeks apart, and I couldn't imagine what you're doing right now, man. God bless you. Thanks so much for coming on with us. Best of luck in the bubble, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, I just want to say hi to my wife, Ryan, and Gavin. I know they're listening, so I just want to say hi to them.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, Ryan. Hey, Gavin. I saw Gavin's first career goal on the old Instagram. So that
looks like a machine already.
Oh, yeah, he's ready to go. He's already mucking and grinding.
He's got great hands already.
Claude, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, see you, Claude. Claude, you're joining us right there.
What a captain answer about TK.
I
keeping that chemistry going.
I got to say, that's the best hockey answer I've ever
gotten.
That's
great. Farzetta in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
History was just made, Jamie. This has never happened before. A radio host made a mistake, and no one called him on it on social media.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's right. I said that...
We need to document this.
This is so to all you Twitter trolls, where are you at?
Yeah, we're going to troll ourselves.
Yeah, I'll troll me being an idiot. No, it's Chris Pronger was not the captain of the 2010 Stanley Cup team.
No.
It was still Mike Richards.
Obviously.
And I said... Well, thank you. Now you're trolling me from 6 feet away.
Idiot, do you watch the Flyers?
Do you even hockey? Anyway.
Guess I'll talk about best team in town.
If somebody calls and says you should talk more, I'm just going to play the captain of the Flyers talking. That's what I'm going to do. But Chris Pronger wasn't the captain until after they traded away Mike Richards. Mm-hmm. And then he got
that, he's one of the ultimate...
What the hell?
What could have been?
They would have won a cup. I'm convinced they would have won a cup.
Well, because that's what Chris Pronger does.
Yeah,
he wins.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure I was in the arena and you could hear Pronger yell when he, because it was a stick to the temple area.
I know it was his eye.
It affected his vision, but I thought he got like hit in the temple, whatever it was. You heard him yell and it was like, oh no.
The reaction to it as he's walking off the ice, if I remember it correctly, and I think I do, is like his hand under his face, like shaking his hand, and you're like, oh, this isn't good. Yeah. Whatever this is actually really, really bad.
That sucked.
And it turned out to be the end.
Yeah, really sad end.
But when you think about...
God, they've had a lot of concussion. I mean, between Primo, Lindros, and him, that's three devastating like concussion issues.
When I think about Chris Pronger, and I know this comparison gets brought up in other sports, like I remember like, oh, Nick Foles, he's a quarterback. All he has to do is be a good point guard. Like, they're going to be a point guard.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
When I think about point guards, I think of Chris Pronger because that's how he played defense. Like, it was like he was like bringing the ball up the court. He was bringing the puck up the ice, and good things were going to happen. And not just that, but he was also good at stopping the puck from going to the goal as well.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag at yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. We were supposed to talk to this gentleman yesterday. Something came up, but we got him today. His name's Devon Givens right here of 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Devon?
What's up, guys? Sorry about that.
No, don't you ever apologize to us. Good to have you on today, buddy. Here's what we got going on. Here's one thing I want to see tonight. Obviously, I want to see a blowout against a hapless Wizards team. But I would like to see a little bit more of a solid rotation from Brett Brown going into this game tonight, at least in the first three quarters, given that maybe it won't be a blowout going into the fourth quarter. I just want to kind of get a sense of what Brett's actually thinking before the playoffs start. Where are you at on the rotations?
Well, I agree with you that you would like to see the rotations set a little bit better. I guess that with the way that things have been going on with the games and still trying to figure out the fatigue level, the basketball shape that these players are in, despite the fact that they've been in camp and some scrimmages, still trying to really figure it out, Mark. Since the playoffs don't start for another 2 weeks, that he really doesn't have an idea. And I also think it hurts, too, not having Glenn Robinson out there, the third, because he would also be in that mix. So I would like to see a better rotation overall, better team defense in general. That's really been bothering me. When the last time I had a chance to join you guys, that was my number one thing, that I needed to see the team defense be exactly what we thought and what they told us it would be once this reseeding started. And, of course, the playoffs got underway. So afternoon against the Washington Wizards, you're right, it's a hapless team, no Bradley Beal, no Davis Bertans, and they're just throwing out regular dudes out there right now that, of course, are NBA players, but no way that the Sixers should lose to this team this afternoon.
Devon, you just brought up the defense, and obviously that's the thing that's most concerning to everybody watching. I think it's, 92 points in the fourth quarters combined of the two games. Stan Van Gundy yesterday brought up an interesting point, and I want to see if you're buying it, because if you look around the bubble right now, pretty much majority of the games are going over. You know, occasionally last night, Rockets over was like 245. That didn't go over. But a lot of these games are high scoring. Stan Van Gundy believes it's a product of the conditioning. They don't have their legs under them yet, so by the time they're getting to these fourth quarters, they're shot. And the offense is ahead of the defense in the bubble. One, do you buy that? And two, does that give you hope that the Sixers will turn this corner defensively here?
One, I do believe what Stan Van Gundy had to say. We talked about this last night, as a matter of fact, Jamie, where Van Gundy said that. And, you know, we brought it up in our conversation as well, because it makes sense.
It totally does.
Look at what we were talking about going in, where these soft tissue injuries and things of that nature are going in here because of the fact that this has been, wow, it has been, in terms of length, a normal offseason for these players, but it has not been, as Stan Van Gundy pointed out, a normal offseason where they've had the opportunity to go and work out in gyms, go do all the work that they do, whether it's running around whatever field that they may work, or a track or city, wherever they are, to do the normal conditioning things that they need to do in the offseason to prepare for the rigors of an NBA season. So with them not having to do that, coming back into the bubble, look, guys live in apartments, they don't have access. Guys do live at homes, they may have a court, but, you know, it's just them and no one else. So the guys are going to be in different stages of where they are in terms of their conditioning. So I buy into it. Does that mean the defense? Hopefully, because one of the things that has stood out to me glaringly in these first two games, Ben Simmons has played better defense than he has in these two seeding games thus far. And I don't know what it is with him. Maybe it is the conditioning. Maybe he's just coasting until they get to the playoff rounds that start in a couple of weeks. But I do buy what Stan Van Gundy is saying a little bit, because it just seems like that's natural stuff when it comes to getting ready for a season and them not doing it the way that they're accustomed to doing it. These guys are, look, we know that they're creatures of habits, athletes, right? They have their things that they do that they're accustomed to doing, and this has thrown everyone off. So while this may not be an excuse for the 76ers when you see other things happening in a positive way for other teams, but you're right, scoring is up. Totally up. No defense. No one's playing good defense. And hopefully this thing starts to come around for them as they get ready for game today.
All right, Devon, I got to ask you this. The night and day, as we speak with our own Devon Gibbons, the night and day of both games. So it was game one, Shake Milton, just night. Awful. Terrible. It was just very dark. And then, obviously, in the next game, totally different. He was that calm guy that we had watched before the shutdown happened. What was your reaction to Saturday night versus Monday night?
Saturday night, I just thought that at some point he just got in his own head. Things weren't going his way. The foul trouble, then the issue with Embiid very early on, the fact that T.J. McConnell, of course, was digging in his shorts. Aaron Holiday gave him some trouble as well, and he just got out of his head. And what that was something that we had not seen from Shake Milton in quite some time. So what was important for me, Mark, was for him to bounce back after the floor, after the back and forth with Joel Embiid that seemingly got him out of his game as well, settled down, had a day off. We don't know what the conversations were between the players and Milton, the coaches and Milton, but whatever it was, I wanted to see some poise from him. I wanted to see him bounce back and take some good shots, be smart about what he did. And Mark, he came out and he was 6 of 9 from the floor, I believe it was off the top of my head, 2 of 4 from behind the 3-point line, no turnovers in 20 plus minutes. And of course, the big shot with 6.1 seconds left on the game clock to basically clinch the game winner. And good to see it. So the night and day was, I think, the confidence. He lost it very early on Saturday against the Indiana Pacers. And on Monday, what it was, he was able to get it going early. He got it back. And it's sustained throughout the entirety of the game.
Yeah, Devon.
Don't turn the ball over. That's what he did.
Devon, I want to give you a task here. And I come to you as a steadying basketball voice in my life. I watched the NBA bubble yesterday. And, you know, your cousin plays for the Suns, so I'm sure you're very invested in those games. And I watch, you know, the game winner from Devin Booker. I watch Kawhi Leonard and Paul George just taking over, whether it's from the perimeter, whether it's getting to the rim. All these guys have a variety of options of scoring, and most of it relies on the jump shot. I got sad yesterday that the Sixers don't have that guy. Am I being overdramatic here, or is this a just lack of guard perimeter play, a glaring hole with this organization right now?
No, because I think this is something that we've talked about for years now with this basketball team, from the rebuild to when Simmons and Embiid got here and started to establish themselves. Shot makers. And
yeah.
Every team basically has a shot maker, and that's why Elton Brand went out and got Jimmy Butler and that move made there where he was going to come in and be that type of guy, the guy you can give the ball to with some seconds left on the game clock and drill it, let's go home, and we walk away with this victory. And you're right, Devin Booker's shot was amazing. We, as you said, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, T.J. Warren, even though T.J. Yeah. Warren may not be a household name, he's a guy who can score in this league. And the 76ers, while Tobias Harris dropped 25 yesterday, 30 on Saturday, you hope that he can maybe evolve into that player for this team. Because for me, that's really the only one that would give me hope.
It's the only thing that comes to mind, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe with a little bit of Shake Milton, but there's not enough of a sample size outside of that 39-point performance against the Los Angeles Clippers. So it is saddening in that way. It's something that we all want to do. Reasonable at all, because some people did want him to move on. But if there was any reason why you wanted Jimmy Butler back, it was for that. And right now, the Sixers don't have. Now, I guess, guys, the only hope is that you get it done in different variety of ways. While it may be different variety of ways of shooting for those players, maybe, you know, we're hoping for Ben Simmons to put the ball on the floor and be that guy eventually. He can finish at the rim. Josh Richardson the same. And as we just mentioned, Tobias Harris, Shake Milton, and certainly Joel Embiid. So it is a glaring hole on this team. They could still win. We knew this before the season when we still projected them to be a top team in the East. They have to find ways to do it differently than what those other stars do that we know of closing games and shooting.
Mm-hmm. Devon, the last thing I'll have for you, and it's more to put a quarter in the Jamie angry machine than anything. Howell Neto.
Oh, no.
Howell Neto versus Alec Burks. What's the deal? What's up with that? Yeah, why is that happening? Why is that happening?
I mean, if you just follow Brett, it's more of Howell Neto is a traditional point guard. So if he's going to go that route, he's going to go a traditional point guard versus someone who's a combo. Although I don't think Shake Milton is a point guard. I think he's a combo that can make jump shots.
Yep.
And it's a little bit different. Mm. But if Jamie, if you're on the side of Alec Burks, I'm with you. Because
I very much am on that side. Yeah, I never want to see Neto again.
I think Brett Brown's the only one who's not on our side.
Yeah, I mean, but look, you see it with T.J. McConnell as well. I actually trust it's crazy to say, but I trust T.J. McConnell more than I do Howell Neto because...
Oh, absolutely.
No, not crazy at all. Maker. Not crazy.
Yeah, but when you look at the difference, too, the sense of...
I think Brett's cutting your line off. I think Brett Brown's cutting your line off. We had a little disconnection right there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know, man. I would go Burks. He favors Neto, but it can also go into, and Pat will tell you where... I favored Amir Johnson over Rashawn Holmes only because I trusted Amir Johnson more defensively, where maybe Brett Brown trusts Howell Neto as a point guard over Alec Burks, who may be a little bit wild as a guy who can
turnovers
like
yeah.
crazy, but he can turn the ball over as well.
Totally. Devon, last one for me. Tell me Furkan Korkmaz is not going to be the sixth man in the actual playoffs.
No, I don't
all
think
right,
so.
Thank you.
Oh, thank God.
I think that was just, and look.
Foul trouble and all that, yeah.
Yeah. It's basically, if you're going to take a beat out, that means that Al Horford will come into the game. Now, if Shake Milton gets into foul trouble and he feels like he has to go with another guard, he's going to go with another guard, and that's probably your first guard off the bench, and Seaside will be a second one.
Right. All right, Devon, I really appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks again, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, man. All
right, see you, Devon.
Appreciate it. I swear that was Brett. I mean, it was bad. I mean, it was in and out.
Well, he controls the 5G towers. That Brett.
Like he controls them like he controls his rotations,
yeah.
Which isn't good. No.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.